Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
Here with David and Jonathan on WBFF 97.7 Between the Lines, where we dissect the Bible and try to bring it into some clearer understanding. Lots of things just evident right there for the first reading, but you got to read and read and read and read to uncover a lot of meaning. And we're in Isaiah near the end, chapter 54. We just got through chapter 53, the forbidden chapter for Jews, because it kind of spells out exactly who Jesus was, and they just don't want to recognize that. So we're going to start right off here in chapter 54. Looking at some end times prophecy here, actually some 1967 Israeli prophecy coming up. Chapter 54, sing, O barren that thou didst not bear, break forth into singing, and cry aloud that thou didst not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. It's a lot of, what did that really mean? Talking about his children there, his chosen ones. Sing, O barren, woman who has not brought forth any children. A vineyard, like he described it in one of the previous chapters, that did not bring forth good grapes. You have done nothing with all the gifts that I've given you. Thou that didst not bear, the seeds that I planted came up wild and not of the highly refined seed that I had planted. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. You know, I brought you out. I never excluded anyone in this world. I'm the God of all people, but I chose you as a special priest line to me to bring forth Messiah. And look where we are. We've come a long way, and the people on the outside are much more than the people of my chosen group. How can that be? And it all goes back to disobedience, and that's been the biggest theme here that we've highlighted through the Old Testament, how God gave the eternal covenant to Abraham, follow me with all your heart, be obedient children, and circumcise your children. They just refused to obey, and that's why he had to lay the law on them. And when the Messiah came, law was something to burden them with, so they would want to follow. You know, I got to do this, 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 and this. God forbid we miss one of these sacred days, or the Sabbath, or this, we spend so much money on all these animals that we have to sacrifice. It was bondage and absurdity to show them there's a simpler way. Follow me with all your heart. And Christ came back and reestablished the first covenant. Follow me with all your heart and be baptized. It's even easier now. None of that cutting thing, guys. Mm-hmm. And, you don't remember it as a child, but there are people all through this book that have come in as adults.
Yes.
And been circumcised into
yes.
the family.
Yes.
All right. Lay it on the block.
Now, I'm not going to lie. I might have been late. I have to do what?
Ay, ay, ay. Verse 2, enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine inhabitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. I truly see a prophecy there. From the time of Isaiah to the time of the 1967 Six Days War. Because we are, in the last few chapters here, we have gone in and out of last days prophecy. Enlarge the place of thy tent, okay? You're in the land. You're going to expand and let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitations, the borders of your land, spare not. Lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. And you see, if you ever look at the 1967 war, it was truly a spiritual battle that God battled for the Israelis. I mean, Jordan, Egypt, and Syria came against Israel in 1967 to push them into the sea mm-hmm. with five times the amount of military that the Israelis had. And when it was all totaled up 6 days later, I think the Israelis lost 600 men and tens of thousands mm-hmm. on the other side, and entire air forces wiped out, entire armies wiped out. It was a supernatural protection, and we're going to see why right here in verse 3. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. And Israel expanded because of the 6 days war to the Golan Heights on the right and to Gaza on the left. I truly believe that is what Isaiah was saying here. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. And we've seen multiple prophecies, especially with Ezekiel, of the dry bones coming back together. And that's the nation of Israel that was reformed in 1947. And immediately all of the Arab nations surrounding Israel declared war. Non-shooting war at the time, but they declared that they would destroy Israel. They would not allow Israel to have a place there any longer. And we're talking about the children of Jacob and the children of Ishmael. Well, yeah, but children of Isaac and children of Ishmael, and later God calls them Jacob and names Jacob Israel. So mm-hmm. it goes back to Abraham and his two offspring. For thy maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. God is your husbandman. It's not a sexual connotation there, and I always had people ask me, well, how can we be the wives of God? It's not like that. It's the husbandman was the head of all the household. I am thy husband. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith thy God. And there is just a remembrance of where Israel had gone from when they were carried away into Babylon for 70 years because of disobedience. Just over and over and over again, God said, I'm done with it. I'm going to turn my back on you. I will keep a member of David on the throne of Judah because I made a promise. And when they came out of Babylon, when Cyrus ordered them to go back and reestablish their nation, the king never came. They never had a king. And we've gone through that many times, how there was a council set up in Babylon to keep a member of David's family on the throne. That is a fulfillment of prophecy. God said, I would always have a member of your family on the throne, a king in exile. And when Christ came and was crucified, went to hell, and preached to the nation of Israel in paradise, he took that throneship, and he will bring it back and reestablish it. But that is a little off the path. So what he's saying here, for the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth, of my youth, when thou wast refused, saith God. He's remembering when they came out of Babylon, he told them at that time, I will have no further use for you except to bring forth a body for my son to inhabit. And that is the only thing I'm going to use you for from this point until I reform you after I scatter you through the wind, to the winds. And he's remembering here the wife of his youth. For a small moment have I forsaken thee. You know, that was 400 years for God. You know, the Bible says, you know, 1,000 years is but a day to the Lord. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but the everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. And there you should go right into the book of Ezekiel and read about how God will call them from the four winds of the earth, where he had scattered them in 70 AD when the Romans came in and pillaged Jerusalem as a curse for what was done to Messiah. He said, I scatter you to the four winds. You will be a thorn in the side of everyone you inhabit near. And he says, for a short time in God's perspective, and with everlasting kindness will I regather you. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me, whereas I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee again. So once he gathers them back together in 1947, he will have a plan to guide them right to the end. For the mountains shall be departed, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that have mercy on thee. And Israel does have supernatural protection as we speak, and a lot of that comes in the presence of the United States, which is in this book. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not confronted, comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors, lay thy foundations with sapphires, and I will make thy windows of agates, and thy gates of carbuncles, and all thy borders of pleasant stones. And if you analyze the nation of Israel when they moved there in 1947, it was a desert. And now it is a blossoming, beautiful place. And that's what he says here. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shall thou be established, thou shalt be far from oppression. For thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fail for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. And we talked about this many, many times. God is in charge of everything, good, bad, or indifferent. Light and darkness, good and evil, they all work for him. Oh, that sounds terrible. Why would a good God? Because he is the creator of all things. And because his children disobey, they need to be chastised. Does he do that himself? Yes, through the third party. He's got a bunch of fallen angels out there that have no place in heaven anymore. They are mischievous, they're evil. And occasionally we've seen him put them on the backs of his own children because of their disobedience. Just like a father would do when he pulls out that belt and says, all right, I told you three times already, now you're going to get it.
Should have cut the grass.
That's it, yeah. Verse 17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and the righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. And that is where Israel stands right now, until these last day battles that we've chronicled in here. No weapons formed against them will prosper. And you see that, you know, and you also see the curse. The world hates Israel, no matter what they do. I mean, 2,500 of them were slaughtered a couple years ago when Hamas came in and attacked them on their holiest day. And when they fought back, the entire world says, oh,
wait, what are you doing?
Yes, well, how could you possibly do that? You're killing children. Well, Israeli children, women, children, and men were slaughtered on that day. But God forbid Israel fight back and a few women and children be killed on the other side where all the fighters are. They do that. All of these Arab terrorists hide themselves in hospitals. They hide themselves in apartment buildings. And they shoot from those places.
Human body shields.
Yes, human body shields. They have no love for human life. They have no value in human life. Mm-hmm. But this chapter 54 chronicles where Israel is at this time. Chapter 55. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. he that hath no money. Come ye buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. It's an open invitation from God to have all of your spiritual needs and your salvation taken care of. He compares it here to monetary purchases, but...
It's his storehouse.
That is his storehouse. That is, I'm going to read it one more time. Oh, everyone that thirsteth, not the Jew that thirsteth, everyone, and that's a reoccurring theme that I can't say over and over again. His chosen people were chosen for a purpose, but salvation was available to all of the time. Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. And that is not actual wine, not actual milk. That is spiritual fullness. And we all know that babies, young people who have just found him, will survive on milk before they can actually eat whole food and then drink wine. And that's just a connotation to come and get all that you need to fulfill your spirit from me. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread? You waste all of your time looking for the satisfaction within the world when it's right here, and I've offered it to you for free. And your labor for that which satisfieth not? Why do you do this? You work so hard to build an empire here on earth when it's going to be turned to dust one day, and it will not even be remembered. Work for me, and your rewards will be piled up in God's kingdom one day. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good. And let your soul delighteth itself in fatness, not this flesh. We've talked about what happens when you overfeed this flesh. It becomes sluggish, and it takes you down paths. It puts the spirit man to sleep, and you end up being the person you don't want to be. But fill your soul, he's saying. I have the food for your soul, not the food of your flesh. And if you feed your soul, I'll provide just enough for the flesh. Incline your ear and come unto me here, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. And why does he throw in that, even the sure mercies of David? Because David followed him with all his heart. But David went off path, committed a lot of horrible sins, murder, adultery, covetousness, lying. He went right down, except for number one, thou shalt have no God before me. He went right down the list and tried to check them all off. So that's basically saying it doesn't matter what you have done. You come to me and I will have salvation for you. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. And that is a connotation to Christ. I also believe it's a connotation to everything is orchestrated in this book. You know, could God have prevented David from going off path like that? Yes, he could have, but there would be one grand example missing from this Bible of what following God will do for you, and what following God will do for you even when you get so far off course, and he will welcome you right back as though it has never happened. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. And there is another connotation to God never excluded anyone, and that is referring to Christ and how he will bring in all the Gentiles of the land. God and the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. And we talk about the fact that you are not guaranteed tomorrow or even the next hour of your life. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Up until your dying breath, you can call upon him like the man on the cross said, simply, remember me, Lord, when you go into your kingdom.
Mm-hmm. The first to be the last, and the last to be the first.
There you go.
So if you find them in the beginning, then you're good. If you find them at the end, then
yep,
you're good.
That's right. And the only thing difference is, you find him in the beginning, and you work for him while you're here, the rewards in God's kingdom will be much greater. I don't care what Pastor Bob said. We don't all go to the grand ballroom of heaven. Mm-hmm. There are many, many avenues of heaven, and depending on what you do for him after you have found salvation, because salvation is in the heart, requesting and repenting for your sin, that gets you in God's kingdom. But what seat you have there at the table depends on how well you work for him while you're here. And we also talked about the fact that there are several types of individual that will get to God's kingdom and have to daily drink from the water of life that flows from the throne of God. I know Pastor Bob never mentioned that. Mm-hmm. That's the guy on the cross. He just got in. He barely got in. And I mean, he was cursing Christ. And then he realized, this guy is for real. This is the Son of God. I mean, the dark sky, the earthquake, the feelings that he's getting from them. It's wow. Please remember me, Lord. Yes, you're in. You get the participation trophy. You'll be in God's kingdom, but that's the new earth. That's not the city of heaven that will come down and dwell on the new earth. And the King of Kings will dwell in the top of that. Mm-hmm. And there are only a couple types of individuals that actually get into there. One type that actually gets into the throne room. The best of the best and the hardest working, who work for God's kingdom while they're here.
You know, to expand a little bit on that, about, you know, there's those that'll be there that have to drink from the living water so that their spirit can continue on.
Yeah.
The way it transposed my mind was, like, here in the physical realm, like, if we don't eat, then we die.
Yep.
So on the spiritual side, like, in the spiritual food, if your spirit doesn't eat, I assume that you'd probably just vapor away.
I don't know about vaporing away, but I think gradually grow old.
Well, yeah, there you go. Yeah. Aging or something, yeah.
Yeah, do you want to live forever as a young, vital man or a woman? Or
right, just do 130 years.
Yeah, and the new earth is bigger than this one.
Yeah.
And there are places you're going to want to go.
Right.
But how far from the river of life can you travel?
Because you're kind of tethered.
And you want to go over there for a week. Do you just give up a week of growing older? This has never been a topic within the Christian community because they just don't recognize it. Mm-hmm. But it is in here and in black and white. Mm-hmm. But you can be one of those who don't have to drink from the fountain that flows from the throne of God simply by working for him after you have found salvation. Mm-hmm. Do some work here with your hands so you'll have the rewards of eternal life, the crown of life, instead of having to drink from the fountain that flows from his throne. You know, you either work here for him or you work there by continually feeding from the fountain of life. Neither here nor there. If I get into God's kingdom, I will feel very blessed.
Same here.
And that he has not put me in hell because I deserve hell 1,000 times over. Verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord and he will have mercy upon him. To our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And I can't say this time and time again. God says the moment you begin to obey and put the sin behind you, it is though it has never happened. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You cannot begin to explain the mind of God. Mm-hmm. I don't care how many doctorate degrees you have, the mind of God is so far beyond anything comprehensible by a human being.
That's what makes me laugh about the people who are trying to attain the power of the Godhead.
Oh.
It's like, man, you just...
Yes. I mean, he compares us to gnats.
Yes.
For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it.
My word.
My word, yes.
In the beginning was the word.
That's right. And God has orchestrated this book down to the last detail. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. An amazing, amazing little love. And, you know, I remember when Christ was in Judea, and I said, you know what? If they wouldn't do it, would not the stones rise up and do it? You know?
They'd cry out.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. Shall be in the Lord. It shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. And I do believe that last verse slips into the millennial period. And those are not trees. Those are people. Okay? Instead of the thorn, instead of the bad character of a person, shall rise up a great stature of a man. It's instead of a briar shall come up a myrtle tree, a beautiful tree. You know, instead of an evil person, as he says in the millennial period, he will put down all the evil that remains in this world.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.